Sharon, let me just express for the benefit of everyone else. Tammy Madsen, who is one of our first ordained blessing givers, passed on a couple of days ago, I believe, wasn't it, Sharon?
It was on Friday, yes.
It was on Friday. She passed on to her higher reward. And we know that she's with us. You may have known her in the past because when I couldn't do the blessing call, Tammy, Cecilia, and Jenny were our blessing team that would come on and ride in substitute for me being here. And she was such a great coordinator, such a great love, and so devoted to the blessing. And her passing makes us mindful of our own mortality, but also that our mortality is relatively insignificant compared to the love that we are and compared to the love that survives and continues on to do its work wherever we are drawn by our Heavenly Father. And so we express our love for Tammy today and we'll include her in our blessing in a very, very special way.
Thank you so much, Glenda. I sure appreciate it, and I love you all.
Oh, we love you too, Sharon, and I'm so grateful for you too.
Thank you, Glenda.
All of our blessing givers. You know, the prayers and the love I've been sending to Tammy lately just remind me how much I care for everyone in this audience, most especially our blessing givers, but everyone. And I can only just imagine the smallest taste of how much Yeshua loves us all.
Yes.
So thank you for that little short memorial. And do we have anyone else on the phone, Cecilia?
Yes, we do. It's area code 774. I'm going to unmute right now.
Okay.
Hi, Glenda. Hi, Cecilia. This is Darlene.
Oh, Darlene. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say I found out yesterday about Tammy, and I have been in touch with Jenny and Sharon, but I wanted to say this and let everybody know, and I usually don't respond like this when someone passes, but I can't, she's all around me. I have her, her presence is so strong and so reassuring, and all day yesterday, even when I was crying, there was a calming presence of Tammy just all around me, and there were like hundreds of her all around me with that beautiful face, smiling and just sort of letting me know the feeling was I'm okay, things are fine, everything, all is well, and love. And she's still with me even now. I'm as strong as when it first happened, but when I first found out, the minute I found out, I was shocked because I didn't know that she had been sick. So I was really taken aback. And
yes.
Then she came in somehow and calmed me down. And she's mm-hmm. been around me ever since. And
I feel her, too.
I'm so grateful.
I feel her, too, and it may well be she's our first ascended blessing giver.
Yes. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be wonderful just to contemplate? Let's send that thought to Tammy.
Yes.
She has always been, in the front seat of love, radiance, dedication, responsibility, and desire to see this work done. So I hold that viewpoint for her. And rather than miss her, I celebrate her.
Yes, I agree.
Well, thank you again for that contribution to the memorial.
Okay, thank you, Glenda.
You're so welcome. Cecilia, is there anyone else?
It doesn't look like it right now.
Okay. Well, just let me know if someone comes on, and I will just get on with my thoughts for the day. I think whenever we have a loved one pass, we're always challenged to think, well, why can't I go also? Why can't I be there with them? Why do we have to experience this brief separation? You know, the apostles asked Yeshua the same thing. They wanted to go with him. He was preparing them for his leaving. And they said, well, why can't we go with you? And he said, I'm sorry, but you can't. Where I go, I must go in my new form, in my new body, that I can find new mansions for you and wait for your coming to me in the right appointed time. And so what he was letting the apostles know is that there is continuity between the physical life and the spiritual life that we need not be anxious about, that it really is just part of a transition of life to a higher perspective and a higher point of view, possibly a higher work. And we know that during the life of the apostles, he stayed palpably connected to them. He actually was visibly connected to a number of them. And one of his great historic appearances, of course, was to Paul. And this was not just a hallucination that Paul had, as some people think, because when people have hallucinations after the passing of a loved one, it's because they miss them. Paul was an enemy. Paul was persecuting the Jews, or at least the Christian, the followers of Jesus. Paul was a Jew, so I was wrong in saying he was persecuting the Jews. But that sector of the Jews, he was persecuting. And he had no reason to want to see Yeshua. But Yeshua came to him and he said, Saul, his name at that time was Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And, of course, Saul had no words for that. And that was the beginning of Saul's conversion into the person we call Paul today. And that was the first of two appearances Yeshua would make to him. And so we are reminded constantly through the New Testament that there is very little difference between the physical and the spiritual, except for the organic body in which we dwell. And, you know, it makes me wonder why we can't see that transition so well from here, because I believe that from the other side, the transition is clearly obvious based upon inspirations that are given back to us. And my best suggestion, my best thought on that is that while we're here, we're supposed to be focused on being here for having an earthly experience and also for celebrating our connection to the earth to heal the soul's tendency to separate from earthly toil and not to want to be here, to think that it's better somewhere else. It's always better in heaven, or it's better in some higher mansion. What Yeshua would teach people is that the kingdom of heaven is within you. He wanted his followers and those who received his message to know that they can anchor it inside their physical presence, and that from inside their physical presence, they slowly transform their life from the inside out. It consistent with all of Yeshua's teaching. This is what we are now doing with the blessing. And this is why we ask you to have your feet bare, your feet touching the ground as directly as possible. Though given the fact some of you may be in apartments and there's carpet and or wood or tile, but still, try not to have too much of an artificial barrier such as a running shoe between yourself and the earth, because it does block the earth's energy. So have your feet pointing down toward the earth. Draw the energy up into your heart. Your heart center is actually the place where we take energy from the earth, love from God, healing energy from the Holy Spirit, and the presence of Christ, and almost as if we are in a great alchemical lab, it all gets put together along with all of our earthly, personal, and biological potential to create the most perfect transformation of our being from the inside out, and allows us, when our time comes, to take that perfect result and elevate it so that rope by rope, we are threading a bridge. It's almost as if we were commissioned to create a bridge across the Grand Canyon, but we have no steel, we have no lumber, all we can do is build ropes, and we toss those ropes across, and we carry them as we put something on our backs that allows us to float, and we carry those ropes across, and rope by rope we build a bridge that others can walk upon. We make ourselves ready for the higher world by transforming ourselves from the inside out. This is why it's so important to live a life of integrity. And many people have misunderstood that, thinking that moral codes will produce that. Actually, I have nothing against moral codes if they become guidelines for the development of integrity, but so often they've been used as guidelines for judgment and oppression of other people who just don't agree with you. Think about all the silly, superficial moral codes in the past. All you have to do is read the book of Leviticus in the Bible, and you'll see how insane and almost sociopathic some of the moral codes were. If you touch a pig, you have to be executed. That's pretty ridiculous, pretty extreme. And through the ages, we see some really stupid moral codes coming through the Puritans and the Pilgrims and not just Christians, but all religions have their insane versions of moral codes. This is just an outer covering that allows other people to judge and control you. They are no substitute for personal integrity. And actually, when we live within personal integrity, and when we ask sincerely for forgiveness for whatever transgressions we make, it's better than living inside some tight-laced moral code that just tells us what other people's opinions are. Let us live within our personal integrity. I think the Ten Commandments is a good guideline about living in truth, not destroying life, especially life that you cannot recreate, such as the life of another human being. Not living your life coveting the goals, the successes of other people. Taking the presence and the name of God with reverence and respect and appreciation. I think all of these rules are good guidelines. Sometimes we cross the line. As long as we can still reconcile it to integrity, it's better than having a straight lace we have to follow. And these straight laces are what have driven people away so often from warm and supportive spiritual groups that they would love to belong to. And Spiritist Church is the original church of Jesus and the apostles. It's just endured through the ages alongside all the other denominations. And we find within it that the main principle is to love one another and to love God with all our heart. And that's really what we try to do. And as we do it, to do so within the pursuit of personal integrity, however that might be, to enhance our minds expand our hearts, to live in charity, to live in love for one another, to see God as the one God of all people and all life, not giving special favors to one above another, and to perfect our inner life so that we become a new and transformed person. The Apostle Paul talked about this in the book of in 1 Corinthians, where he spoke about the new bodies that will appear on this earth as a result of the transformational work that we do. And he went so far as to say these new bodies will be filled with light and transfiguration of spirit, to be durable and to be visible to the earth, yet durable to the infinite extension of children of God, and that this is the work we're doing on this earth. So I hope that you will see that as we offer a blessing, as you receive a blessing, whatever you may get from it, from the inside out, there's work being done. Sometimes the outer work is more obvious. Sometimes we feel a specific and visible immediate healing or repair of condition. Other times we're just taking steps forward toward those healings or repairs. Other times we may not see anything. And at times we may feel tired for several days. Well, that's because the body is purging. The body is actually going through some deep inner work that's using all of your available energy. And then you emerge from that phase like a butterfly, ready to fly. I've had all kinds of stories come back to me about what's happening from the blessing. But the one thing I can tell you is universal. It works with everything that Yeshua taught us about our immortality, our position and welcoming and life in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, being for an act that occurs from the inside out. This is why he did not overly create mandates for behavior. If someone had a transgression, he would turn to a crowd judging them and say, well, who among you hasn't sinned? He was not overly concerned with outer behavior. He was actually not even overly concerned with outer conditions. Not because he didn't care. He cared for everyone. He would sit with the lepers. He would sit with the poor. He would multiply food to feed them. Yes, he cared, but he knew that that condition would persist as long as we view it as an outer condition that is treated with outer measures. For example, right before his night of arrest, we can only presume it was Mary Magdalene, a woman who loved him. Some say it was Mary, but at any rate, she took a whole bottle, and in those days, it was quite a large bottle of spikenard, and she anointed his feet with this. So liberally, I presume, as to use the entire jar, and she did so with her hair. And Yeshua was reprimanded by Judas. And I believe there were others who joined in that reprimand, but Jesus responded to Judas because Judas was always missing the point. He thought that the world was to be corrected with outer measures. He wanted Yeshua to form an army. He wanted Yeshua to provide a new economic basis for Israel. He wanted Yeshua to do the outer work that was necessary to heal a nation. And he missed the point. Yeshua scolded him back. And he said, you will always have the poor with you. I will not always be here. Now, that response has often also been misinterpreted because he did not in any way mean to be callous to the poor and suffering, nor did he mean in any way to be arrogant about himself. Let's look at what was really meant by that statement. First of all, he represented what we all need to do, and that is transform ourselves and the world from the inside out. And as a role model, he would not be there much longer. Now, Judas said this jar of spikenard. It was worth a man's yearly wage. So if given to the poor, it could have fed a lot of families. But Yeshua scolded him for that. Why? Because if you treat poverty externally, it will always be there. And that's the point of Yeshua's comment. You cannot treat it through the distribution of goods. You cannot heal poverty externally. You must heal it internally through the restoration of the souls that are experiencing that condition. All transformation on this earth has to come from the inside out. And that was his message. It must come from the inside out. And as we spread this work and his blessings to the world, we will have less poverty. We will have less suffering. We will have fewer children born with defects. We will have fewer people hurt and maimed by circumstances of life. And for that, Yeshua is always with us, always caring, always praying for us. Yes, he wants fewer people to suffer, but he knows the answer is not from the outside in. It's from the inside out. And so we welcome your understanding to carry this understanding to the world and to teach it to others. And we give you the opportunity right now to be with Yeshua and to experience progress in that direction for yourself. So let us begin our blessing. And I would ask that you be seated in your pose, your feet on the ground, comfortably seated, your head pointed toward the heavens, uncovered unless your religion requires it, and that we just be quiet together and drop your attention into your heart. And one of the great reasons for this, aside from the fact that your heart is the great power within, is that the mind is never free of the outside world. It's kind of like a palace guard. It's got one eye focused in and one eye focused out. Leave your mind behind because it's always got an eye focused to the outer conditions in the outer world. Be in your heart and pray for all the things your heart desires. Pray most for the transformation of yourself that eradicates all of the problems in your life and brings you to a higher level of living where none of these problems exist. Pray all of the prayers of your heart as we conduct the energy of Yeshua through you, body, heart, soul, and being. I will start with an invocation to Christ, and then for 3 minutes we will have the conduction of energy, after which I want you to go and rest and just allow this integration and the assimilation to occur. Okay, let's begin. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, brother of mankind, son of God, we thank you for bringing to this earth the right orientation for us to progress upwardly in our life and for us to transform our lives so that we have all the peace, abundance, healing, and well-being we can imagine, even greater than anything we can think of at the moment. We thank you for bringing this hope to us and teaching us the power of faith, teaching us the right direction through which to go to make a more perfect life. Thank you for being with us today and for being with each of the blessing givers. Thank you for the life of Tammy Madsen, who came, who became a blessing giver, and is now the Ascended One among us, working with you. Thank you, Tammy, for all that you brought to us. And thank you, Jesus, Yeshua, and all the sacred names that you are held in the world around. We ask that your blessings be with us now and conveyed through our blessing givers to all people and all life of the earth. The energetic conveyance is now complete. Go and rest. Be well. And know that you're very loved and very blessed. Goodbye for now, and I hope to be with you again next week.